In a campaign in Australia, someone remonstrated with the candidate that he had made the same speech 70 times. The candidate answered, "Yes, that's true, but I made it to 70 different audiences." "So," said Sir Robert, "must Lyndon, over and over and over." We keep on hoping for a suggestion that somebody else can do. At 4, I took a little nap and read Wolf von Eckhart's piece in the Post about Longfellow Park. He's one of the best translators of what I hope will happen. High on my list are some quiet afternoons of having tea with just one or two or six people like Wolf von Eckhart, people who give or write or carry out projects. There's so much I want to do. Then I worked for an hour or so with Ashton, and restive from a day of desk and talk, went over to the bowling alley for two quick games. It's as good for my spirits as my body. And then back for Jean-Louis to fix up my hair, and into my Molly Parnish pink silk with the beaded jacket for one of our small dinners. There are not more than 30 people upstairs in the family dining room, and have been, most of them, glowing times to remember and useful for learning and making people, I think, feel closer to us. From the cabinet, we had the O'Briens and the Allen Boyds. We had a nice moment about Jake Hershey, whom he knows and admires very much. And from the Senate, Maggie, without Germaine, she's staying in the district, working on campaign and grandchildren. John and Ivo Sparkman, marvelously resistant to the years. Ivo and I are members of the 75th Club together. And from Nevada, both the Allen Bibles and the Howard Cannons, this was not good planning. Both good friends of ours, but we should have spaced them differently. And the Philip Harts from Michigan, I appreciate him much more since my trip to Sylvania. His introduction there was one of the best I'll ever have. Understanding, and I believe sincere, and even a touch of lyric quality. Dear Lindy and Hale Boggs were there. Lindy sang quietly to me in a corner that she loved to do anything for Linda Bird. Make room in her house for kinfolks or youngsters from far off who could scarcely afford a hotel room. I have a gay small party. To me, there's a quality about Southern friends that can't be beat. The young Richard McCarthys of New York were lively and attractive company. He's just back from Vietnam, and like most of those who go, much more realistic and understanding for the trip. And she and I were full of chatter about the children's fair on the back lawn. And a guest I was especially glad to have, Congresswoman Leonore Sullivan. We too had come together. I think it was the 81st Congress, though. I have a particular admiration for women who master the intricacies of parliamentary procedure and run an office well enough to stay in for years all on their own. There was an especially decorative young couple, Arthur Cohens of New York. She was strikingly beautiful, and he extremely able and successful for so young a man in the real estate business, I believe. And our old friends, the Ralph McCulloughs of Texas, with a quickly established fellow interest with the other guests, and with whom I enjoyed reminiscing about Alice and George Brown and their long years of hunting comradeship. George now, with his eye operations, can scarcely see, not at all out of one eye, Ralph told me, but he's learned how to hold his gun and adjust looking out of the other eye until he's a fairly good shot. And the outdoors and the companionship are as good as ever. What a spirit of life. The former governor of North Carolina, Terry Sanford, and his lovely Margaret Rose, with whom I share campaigning memories, were for me such fun to see again. And a man around whom there's a certain aura of glamour, as a criminal lawyer and a writer, Louis Neiser, lived up to his billing. His conversation making the evening a more glittering one for me, certainly, and I believe for the other guests. We had a rather long cocktail hour, and then went into three beautifully set tables in the family dining room, and enjoyed mountain trout, pheasant, and a lemon mousse. And an easy, pleasant, lively enough dinner conversation. I was seated between John Sparkman and Maggie, and then, after dessert, Lyndon rose and made a toast to good friends present, which actually went on to a colorfully expressed state of the world as he saw it from the chair he sat in. It was great. Maybe a touch long, but as we walked out, Leonore Sullivan took my arm and said, "If everybody could just hear him, I'd give anything if he could do that on TV." He'd make people understand.
Well, it's easier said than done.
I took the ladies with me into the yellow room for coffee and liqueurs while the gentlemen stayed in the West Hall. And then, in strolling up to the ladies' room, I took those few who were not familiar with the Queen's room and the Lincoln room, pretty little Miss Arthur Cohen, and Mrs. Ralph McCullough and Mrs. Nizer and Margaret Rose, on a brief tour, especially because Mrs. McCullough wanted to see how Ovida's chandelier looked. I enjoyed these half hours with the ladies. That's when I can talk. Though I must say, the lively interest is with the men. And then, back in the yellow room, I sat down on the sofa with Mr. Nizer, who told a spellbound group of us about his trip to Russia to the film festival. A drab country, it sounded like. More comforts than on his previous visits. But even so, no stopper in the bathtub, nor soap. But there were statues to the poets and the musicians. He had liked that. He told, too, of a good many buildings erected only some 5 or 6 years ago that were so poorly built that they had to be reinforced with an outside steel scaffolding. When he finished, you wondered why we look upon them as 8 feet tall, so formidable, so organized. Because organized is just what they're not, as he had seen it. They did, however, have an intensity of purpose, a determination about their country. Lib Slater arrived sometime during the evening and was taken upstairs to her room. She'll be here with us until the wedding on October the 7th. I love very much to do things for people who have done so much for us, like Jessie. It would not be possible to do enough. It was after 12 when the dinner guests left, and yet it had seemed a short evening. And, for me at least, the mood of 3:30 this morning had completely evaporated against the crescendo of demands of the day.